I call this Wednesday, October 9th, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I'm Chairman Richard Vineyard. I'll be presiding over tonight's meeting. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Linane?
Yes.
And Vineyard?
Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. Moving on to previous meeting minutes, may I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the September 11th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting?
So moved. Second.
Roll call vote on the motion?
Yes. Forrestal?
Just hold on one second. Questions?
Can we request that you speak into the microphones, please?
Sorry.
Thank you.
It's usually too much. Anybody have any questions over the meeting minutes?
No.
Okay. May I have a motion?
Roll call.
So moved.
All right. Roll call.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Linane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Minutes are approved. Moving on to the citizens' comments. Are there any citizens' comments from the public tonight regarding a topic not on tonight's agenda? All right. Seeing as there are no comments from the public, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, into the public hearings. There is one public hearing scheduled tonight for the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding the proposed request that is being considered before the commission tonight. Public testimony from person present who wish to speak may speak for or against the request, or to ask questions of the petitioner regarding the request being heard. The persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time. State your name, who you represent. You are also asked to sign in at the podium over there. If you plan to speak during tonight's public hearing as a petitioner or member of the public, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me.
Aye.
State your name. Do solemnly swear that the testimony I will present at this hearing is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you all. You may be seated. Okay, so the order of receiving testimony will be as follows: the petitioner presentation, followed by those who wish to speak in favor of the request, and then finally those who wish to speak in opposition of the request. So may I have a motion to open public hearing on petition number PZC 2024-19 PTS Corp, requesting special use authorization and variances.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Roll call on the motion.
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
And Linane?
Yes.
All right, this is a mouthful now. So the public hearing for tonight's discussion is PZC 2024-19. Steve Weber on behalf of PTS Corp. This is the contract lessee and petitioner, and Fort Smith FD Partners LLC would be the owner, has applied to the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, for special use authorization to establish a cannabis dispensary within the B3 General Business District on a 1.33-acre parcel at 1508 North Bridge Street, located in the northeast quadrant of Veterans Parkway and North Bridge Street. The petitioner is also seeking three variances to Section 10-4-14 of the Yorkville Unified Development Ordinance, one reducing the minimum distance between the dispensary and certain pre-existing institutions from 500 feet to 450 feet. The second is extending the permitted hours of operation to 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sundays. And three, allowing more than one wall-mounted sign by adhering to the current signage regulations for similar B3 businesses while complying with the Illinois Cannabis Signage Rule. Is a petitioner for PZC 2024-19 PTS Corp present and prepared to make your presentation?
Yes, I am.
Very good, sir.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Weber. I am the petitioner for this request for tonight. Just a little background. So I am a resident of the Western Suburbs. I currently reside in Kane County in St. Charles. And I just thought I'd let you know the reason I got into cannabis is about 10 years ago. Me being a military veteran, I saw how much help that the product provided wounded veterans, as well as veterans that suffer from PTSD, depression, pain, anxiety. So that was my inspiration to get into the space. So fast forward 10 years later, we're here now. PTS, our core values. Our core values are education, number one. We believe in properly informing our customers, both medical and recreational. One thing I want you to understand is that this store is going to be able to both serve recreational as well as medicinal consumers. Providing continuous course offerings to the public, advisor education, and purchasing guidance, we strive to educate consumers about the realities of cannabis and its effects for both medicinal and recreational consumers. Second core value is community. We believe in becoming strong partners within the community. We support local chambers of commerce and community events where appropriate. We believe in strong relationships and communications with our neighboring businesses. Responsibility. Our marketing efforts and communications are directed and curated for adult consumers, not underage. All marketing materials are compliant through the rules and regulations set by the industry. We have created procedures and processes of review that are dedicated to compliance. PTS difference. So we are a vertically integrated company. We deal with cultivation, manufacturing, as well as distribution and retail. Cultivation, we have created proprietary methods that produce top shelf flower. They include lighting schemes, automated irrigation methods, unique media formulations, and novel HVAC designs. Manufacturing, we currently produce over 250 active SKUs for retail distribution, including beverages, popsicles, chewing gum, chocolate, gummies, vapes, topicals, concentrates at a scale, all in multiple size, child-safe form factors. Distribution, PTS partners with a broad range of dispensaries in Illinois, Michigan, Arizona, and Ohio. We have a very experienced executive team. Our team has completed hundreds of harvests over the years in multiple states. We've managed numerous operations around the country in a variety of climates and geographies. Management has shown the ability to both port and scale our IP into both new and established markets. CPG strategy, branded product development. Our board members have decades of successful experience in consumer packaged goods, retail sales, and distribution. Tonic, a THC-infused beverage, is the number one product in this category in Illinois and Michigan. Our stores are branded Consume Cannabis Company. We have operational retail outlets in Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, and Arizona. We are dedicated to scientifically driven proprietary IP. Through our subsidiary, we have multiple patent pending. Our technologies include solventless extraction, novel dry cure methods, and unique sensors for improving yields. We are compliant with compliance. We respect that cannabis advertising should not directly or indirectly propose that any laws pertinent to the sale and consumption of cannabis should not be complied with. Advertising should adhere to general and industry standard advertising best practices. Abuse or inappropriate consumption of cannabis should not be encouraged directly or indirectly. Advertising themes, concepts, and visuals should not depict any imagery that may target an underage person or intend to encourage an underage person to consume cannabis. We, along with our licensed security company, Silver Star Protection Group, have shared our security plan with Police Chief James Jensen, as well as his command staff. We have a very robust security plan that has been designed to ensure the safety and security of employees, purchasers, and the community is a priority. PTS Corp has a proven 10-year track record of operating both dispensaries as well as cultivation facilities that feature a discipline-free record of full regulatory compliance and adherence to the Illinois Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act. As an organization that has done millions of customer transactions, we pride ourselves as being a market leader at compliance, followed by our relentless pursuit of customer service. These are some of the different advertising as well as compliance rules in the states that we currently operate in. This just shows some of our different locations in different states. As I mentioned, we are in four different states right now: Arizona, Illinois, Michigan, and Ohio. Why is Consume different than other dispensaries? Consume Cannabis Company is a national retail cannabis brand with the purpose of providing a better cannabis experience to medical and recreational purchasers. Since education is at the heart of Consume, all of our advisors and staff begin with a proprietary training program to gain a full understanding of local cannabis laws, products, and consumption methods. Our onboarding and training processes go beyond a training manual. We offer an online platform, Consume University, that provides mini tutorials and interactive lessons. Our goal is for every consumer to have a better understanding of cannabis and the effects that it will have on their body. I just want to give you a snapshot of currently what's going on in Illinois. So when you originally passed your ordinance, there was 55 medicinal-only stores that were allowed in the state. Fast forward 4 years now, there's currently 228 active dispensaries in Illinois, 16 that are under construction or approved. There's, per Illinois law, 355 stores are allowed to open up in the state. So that leaves 111 remaining to be approved and or open. Stores that are currently close to Yorkville, there's two stores currently operating in Oswego, two in Plainfield that are coming soon, there's one in Montgomery, and then there's three in Aurora. Once again, this is the snapshot of where the Consume locations are in the four different states. Consume Cannabis, benefits of having a Consume dispensary in Yorkville. Due to the nature of the business and difficulty moving licenses, Consume provides a stable, long-term tenant or building owner for years to come. Consume dispensary location will fill an empty retail location. Where possible, we will use locally based businesses for goods and services or contracted needs. Consume attracts new customers to the area who will inherently spend money at local businesses. We provide both salaried as well as hourly positions along with benefits to our employees. Average employee count in a Consume is approximately between full-time and part-time, 20 to 25. Our monthly average payrolls are around $75,000 a month plus. New employees, because of the payroll, the new employees will spend locally, adding to the economy. As well as offering new options for employment other than fast food or traditional retail jobs, while also paying at or above most other comparable employers. One of our recent stores that we opened up, we had over 250 applications for 20 spots. Anytime we promote somebody and we need to recruit new patient advisors, there's always a lot of applications that come in. There's lots of people that want to be employed by, they want to be in the space, they want to be employed by cannabis dispensaries. So it just shows that, you know, there's people that are very interested and passionate, want to be in the cannabis space. I know tonight one of the requests that I have is for slightly change the hours that the ordinance has in place. The justification for the request is I wanted to just kind of show the hours that we are requesting. At the top, you can see Monday through Saturday, 9 to 9, and then Sunday, 10 to 6, which equates to 80 hours of being open. Our nearest competitors, Ivy Hall, they're going to be open for 84 hours. They're open from 9 to 9, Monday through Thursday. Friday, Saturday, 9 to 10 p.m., and then Sunday, 9 to 7. Market 96, which is in Oswego, they're open Monday through Sunday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 84 hours total open. And then Cloud 9, which is the most recent one that opened up, they are open from Sunday through Thursday, 8 to 9, and then Friday and Saturday, 8 to 10, for a total of 93 hours. So those are the closest competitors and their hours. And then I made an additional slide that just kind of shows some of the other businesses in town, the liquor stores, in regards to their hours. So I just wanted you to understand where I was coming from in regards to why I requested the hours be what they are. Here's our management team. Obviously, I'm not going to go through each person's bio here, but just to let you know that we have a very strong management team. With that, I thank the staff for putting everything together. I thank the Planning and Zoning Commission for obviously listening to us. Obviously, I'm seeking a favorable recommendation on all of the requests. And with that, I'd like to just say thank you and our full staff here is here for any questions that anybody may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in favor of the request? Seeing as there are none, are there anyone present who wishes to speak in opposition of the request? All right. Please step up to the podium.
And be sure to write your name down.
Sure. Yep. Hello, everyone. My name is Jordan Gash. I'm a Yorkville resident. Just want to start out by saying thank you to everyone. I know some of you who are here and appreciate all that you do for the community. And I'm here on behalf of Parkview Christian Academy. I serve as the board president at the school, and I actually met with Mr. Weber on July 13th over the summer. We voiced our objection at that time to the location of the cannabis facility. And so at that time, I think the same things that I'm going to share tonight are the same things that we shared in our conversation. We're not objecting to the business being in Yorkville. We are objecting to its location and the close proximity that it is to the schools. So I live here in Yorkville. My wife Melissa and I have four kids. Three out of four attend Parkview Christian Academy. And so two, my middle schooler and my high schooler who's currently enrolled at the school would be right there at that upper campus. And so we have moral objections as a family, moral objections as a school. And my request tonight for those of you that are making this decision and taking this decision up the chain to be voted on as it relates to these variances, we respectfully ask that these variances not be approved. We feel like those standards are in place for good reasons. And if they are approved, I think my question would be, who's looking out for our kids? And so those standards are there for the safety and the health and the well-being of children. And so to go against those standards and against those variances, I'd be personally saddened as a resident, because I feel like we need to be looking out for our children. That's the reason why those standards are in place. And so for all of you that have an opportunity to be a part of this decision, for our mayor, ultimately for our aldermen, I ask you to look out for the kids. The other thing I think I'd like to bring up is, you know, not only looking out for the kids, but I'd ask the question, if those variances were to be approved, you know, what do we value as a community? I think that, again, Parkview Christian Academy, it's not just a 501c3 nonprofit. It's made up of families, Yorkville residents, taxpayers like myself, who've come together to teach their kids. So we've got an amazing staff. It's an amazing organization. We're teaching biblical values. We're teaching service, community service. And I think that if these variances are approved, it makes me ask that question as a resident. What do we really value? There's more to being a successful community than our tax revenues. And I feel like to take really the decision that's being made is truly a decision between PTS Grows and Parkview Christian Academy because of these variance requests. And so I think that that's a good question to ask. What do we value? So just want to propose that to you tonight. And again, I'm speaking on behalf of our school board, on behalf of our school community. We respectfully ask that the variances not be approved. And then two, that we ask ourselves some of those questions I think are good for all of us. Who's going to protect our kids? That's why those standards are in place. We ask that they be upheld. And then two, what do we truly value as a community? So thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Whoever would like to go next, please.
I've prepared my comments on paper here just to make sure I'm respectful of everyone's time.
Could you state your name for us, please?
Oh, yes, Corinne Young. I'm a parent at Parkview Christian School, and I've lived in Yorkville my entire life. So, longtime resident. Today, I would urge you to increasing the distance between cannabis dispensaries and the schools for the sake of our children's health and safety. Under Illinois law, as you're all aware, cannabis dispensaries must be at least 500 feet from schools. And I will cite several sources throughout my material. I'm not going to list them all for you because I think that's probably a waste of of your time, but I do have the materials here if you'd like to see them. Recent studies and insights from public health organizations suggest that this distance may not be sufficient to shield young people from the negative effects of cannabis exposure and marketing. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention highlights that cannabis use among teens can interfere with brain development, affect academic performance, and increase the risk of mental health issues like anxiety and depression. And based on your comments, I'm sure that that's not something that you want, and I appreciate your effort to educate the communities that you reside in. However, as we examine the broader implications of cannabis dispensaries on our communities, it becomes evident that the issues extend beyond their proximity to schools. Lax regulations, particularly in terms of security and monitoring, which it sounds like you make an effort to address, have raised concerns about the relationship between these establishments and local current crime rates, as well as homelessness. Research from multiple sources suggests that communities with high density of cannabis dispensaries are seeing troubling correlation with increased crime and homelessness. Many cannabis products are highly potent, leading to cases where dependency or even mental health crisis, such as cannabis-induced psychosis, are becoming more and more common. In the case of Johnny Sack's story, it is a heartbreaking example of how this dependency can spiral. Johnny's use of highly concentrated THC products led him into a cycle of addiction, ultimately resulting in severe mental health struggles and, tragically, his suicide. We know that many of the consumed cannabis products are edibles geared towards children in both the flavoring and high concentrations of THC. Moreover, many of these packages contain 100 milligrams of THC, a dosage level that is described as follows. Even in seasoned consumers, negative side effects like paranoia and rapid heart rate can occur. Coordination is almost always impaired at this stage, end quote. Current regulations allow a consumer to purchase 500 milligrams of THC per day. While we cannot change Illinois law or the current city regulations, we can at the very least enforce the lax requirements for cannabis dispensaries. A 2021 national survey on drug use and health found that among the 52 million Americans 12 years and older who used marijuana in the past month, 16 million were addicted. One third of the users can't quit, despite the drug's negative effects on their lives. In closing, and on a personal note, I would ask, is this who we are as a community? The Yorkville I grew up in used to be a place of nurturing, growth, and care. I watched my local church coordinate with local business owners to build a gazebo in Town Square Park. It was no small feat at the time. I was there for the original duck race on the Fox River. I have watched businesses come and businesses go, and I have watched community members invest so much time into this community because we believe in this community. We believe in being here and in what's being done here. We joined Parkview Christian Academy for that very reason. My family has not been the most prominent or outspoken family in Yorkville, but we have been the quiet servants of this community, raising funds, bringing meals to those in need, gathering supplies, and raising our families to leave things better than they found them. We work hard and we pray even harder for safe educational opportunities for our children, something our local school district wasn't able to provide. I ask you to consider the many sacrifices of local families, many of whom are unable to be present here tonight prior to making our choice. What is the cost of our children's future and our community's future?
Thank you. Who would like to go next? Please step up to the podium, sign in, and then state your name for us, sir.
My name is Al Blomquist, and my piece is relatively brief here. Just as a grandfather of three teenage boys here in Yorkville, I would strongly urge that just as we would not sell cannabis to children, so should we avoid the marketing or selling of cannabis in a neighboring location to a school. I have nothing against a marijuana store per se, as long as it is kept normal zoning distance from a school. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next.
My name is Francis Kloss. I live at 205 East Kendall Drive in Countryside Center Subdivision. I'm here representing myself, my wife, and my family. I'm going to disagree just a little bit with the president of Parkview Christian Academy, because I'm speaking against this petition, but not only for the reason that it's in proximity to the school, but that it's in Yorkville at all. I would encourage the board to not approve the variances, and just as soon as you can, increase the setbacks and every other thing that is required of a dispensary, and make it so uninviting to Yorkville that none are ever located here. And I say this, you know, for a couple different reasons. The proliferation of drugs and alcohol in our country is not a good thing. And I think it sets a terrible example for our young people, and it desensitizes them to drugs and alcohol, even if they're not allowed to do it. They are affected by this. We want Yorkville to be a wholesome community. And just because other communities are building dispensaries, that doesn't make it right. There are thousands of stores that sell cigarettes. I wouldn't say that's virtuous. So I think I would encourage you to choose to say no and make this an uninviting thing. Vote no on the variances and simply say no. Just because Montgomery or Oswego is doing it, it doesn't mean it's a good thing for Yorkville. I love this town. And I just don't think that sort of thing should be here. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have the podium.
My name is Molly Kremsky. I own properties in Yorkville. I have a bunch of kids, but they don't go to Parkview. I'm just here speaking on behalf of myself and my family. I want to clear up a couple, or just one really, misunderstanding about the 500-foot setback that keeps coming up in conversations that I've been having, and then I'll say what I came to say. I feel like when the purposes for specific ordinances are understood, there's a tendency to have more respect for them. So there's various types of businesses that require setbacks from schools. These setbacks are put in place to keep kids, they aren't put in place to keep the kids out of the businesses. We already have laws for that. But these school setbacks are put in place to mitigate the proven secondary effects that various business types have on the community. The secondary effects doctrine was established about 15 years ago via the Supreme Court ruling Young v. American Mini Theater, and it allows for setbacks to be established to keep spaces around residential areas, schools, parks, churches, from deteriorating. In subsequent decisions, the court added that a city does not have to conduct its own study to justify its reliance on the secondary effects argument. Instead, the city could rely on studies conducted in other cities previously. This is why Yorkville is able to legislate cannabis setbacks from schools, because the activities that have occurred in other towns prove the need for such legislation. Thought, planning, research, and discussion went into these ordinances. As you know from your time spent on this committee, and perhaps if you served on other committees, it's a deliberate and rational process that is entered into with the aim of creating spaces where children can safely learn and grow. I've always been in favor of upholding ordinances put in place to protect children. and I am still, after several years of speaking before committees and the city council here in Yorkville, am in favor of upholding ordinances put in place to protect children. I realize that you guys might feel some pressure to generate revenue for the city, but I will ask, as many of these people have asked tonight, what is the security of Yorkville's children worth to the committee? Because it's priceless to me. I know it seems to make sense by the reasoning of men that if we want to be prosperous, we need to facilitate the opening of as many businesses as possible, but it doesn't always work that way. A city that prioritizes revenue over the defense of the most defenseless among us will never know true prosperity. The preamble to the Illinois Constitution, and now this is a document that the aldermen have sworn an oath to uphold. It reads, "We the people of the state of Illinois, grateful to Almighty God for the civil, political, and religious liberty which He has permitted us to enjoy, and in seeking His blessings upon our endeavors in order to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of the people, maintain a representative and orderly government, eliminate poverty and inequality, assure legal, social, and economic justice, provide opportunity for the fullest development of the individual, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and secure the blessings of freedom and liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the state of Illinois." So Illinois was established to provide for people by honoring God, putting kids at risk by nullifying ordinances that were put in place to ensure their safety, their welfare, their fullest development, does not honor God or secure His blessing.
Thank you. By a show of hands, could you guys let me know how many more people would like to say something? Okay. In defense of the amount of people that want to say something, I'm getting the point that the location of this is going to be the main issue. Am I correct with that?
No.
That's what I've heard with every one of them?
No.
Okay. All right. So those of you who have something to say other than its proximity to Parkview, I'm going to take you guys next. We've got a pretty good grasp on the location issue. If you have any other concerns outside of its proximity to Parkview, please grab the podium.
My name is Dr. Ray Everson. I'm the superintendent at Parkview Christian Academy. I've lived in Yorkville basically since I got married in the early 80s. My wife has lived in Yorkville since she was born, so we're longtime residents of the community. Yes, the proximity is a major concern, but you asked for additional things. In your initial presentation, you talked about the fact that your company complies with all the regulations, but the purpose of this meeting is you're asking to change three things that are currently regulations. More signage, more hours, and closer to the school. Again, those regulations are there for a reason. They weren't just developed willy-nilly. A lot of time, thought, effort went into putting those regulations in place. So it's just a simple ask that they're there for a reason. Follow that reasoning of why they're there in the first place. You talked about the number of dispensaries in the state. This isn't just a question of proximity to Parkview, but I don't know the answer, and maybe I'd be surprised by the answer. How many of those dispensaries across the state are within 500 feet of a school? I don't know the answer to that. It might be a lot. I know I've driven in all the surrounding communities, just from shopping and living in the area, and everyone I drive by that has a dispensary, there's not a school in sight anywhere in the vicinity of those places. So my ask is simply, the regulations are there for a reason. The last thing I'm going to say is, you talk about marketing. Businesses spend millions in marketing. They market for a specific reason. The name of this dispensary is Consume Cannabis. So there's going to be signs. The kids in our community and the families of our community are going to be driving by every single day that say, consume cannabis. I don't think that's good for Yorkville.
Thank you. Somebody else have anything to say? Please step to the podium, sign in, and state your name.
My name is Dave Young. I'm a resident of Yorkville. I have children and my wife that live here. Our children do attend Parkview, but that's not, the variance is not the reason. I can tell you real world, I work next to a cannabis dispensary, and I can tell you the negative effects it has had on the area in which I work. I'm a mechanic. We service a lot of police cars as part of our service to the community, and I can tell you that talking to them after the dispensary went in, the crime rate went up. I can tell you the vagrancy that has happened in our area, the little things, catalytic converters missing, things like that. Now that may not directly be because of the cannabis, but I can tell you the crime rate has gone up. It has directly affected the area in which we work. I've been a mechanic for about almost 30 years now, and I can tell you that it would be wonderful if cannabis was just used in someone's home, but that's not the case. That's not real world. When I started in this business, it was a rarity to see cannabis and cannabis paraphernalia inside a car. Now that the law has changed, it's probably one in every 10 cars that I work on. Strong odors, paraphernalia. So I can tell you that they're driving around using this product. There is absolutely nothing, while there are laws in place that keep these things away from children, there is absolutely nothing that stops someone who is legally able to go into this dispensary, get the product, and then sell it to children. Many of the products that they sell are designed for children, edibles and things like that, that look like candy. Right. Yep. There's nothing that stops them from doing that. So I am very much opposed to this, not only for the variants, but in Yorkville. It is not the message we want to send our children, and it is certainly not the message that we want to send the community, that we want drugs in our community. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you. Yeah.
Good evening, my name is Mark Van Denen. I'm a Yorkville area resident only for the last 3 years. We recently moved back to Illinois after a long, sad time in California. I'm speaking to you today because I have kids that attend a number of schools in Yorkville, including Parkview Christian Academy. Also a football coach in the area. I have players on my team from Plano, Yorkville, Oswego, Noka, Montgomery, Aurora, you name it. And so I'm working with young teenage men on a daily basis. My wife and I are also licensed foster parents. We did foster care for 4 or 5 years out in California before we moved here, where we also got licensed. And I'm just telling you about all of those things, because in all of those different situations, I've seen the effects of marijuana use in the lives of individuals. So my main objection to this request for a variance is not so much the proximity to the school, but it's the fact that there's a recreational sale of marijuana for any purpose. I've never seen anything good come from that. Additionally, I forgot to mention, I'm also an architect, and when I was an architect in California, my firm did take on a number of dispensaries and also manufacturing facilities that dealt with marijuana processes. And while they often do have pretty incredible security, I've seen some of the drawings, and while there are significant regulations, just like some of the, just like Dave shared a second ago, I have also seen crime increase in the areas around those facilities almost 100% of the time. What's shocking to me as well is that even in California, where we lived in the far northern part of the state in an area that's known as the Green Triangle. It is well known for how well marijuana could grow. Even there, the proximity requirement was 1,000 feet to a school or a daycare facility or something like that. So just the fact that it's even smaller here blows my mind. In dealing with moms whose kids have been taken away from them in foster care, oftentimes my wife and I have had the opportunity to support those moms in some way, shape, or form while we were caring for their kids. And more often than not, those moms were using, and more often than not, it was contributing to or exacerbating underlying mental illness. If anybody cares to look even a little bit into regular marijuana use, maybe you can make an argument on the medicinal side, but recreational marijuana use, you know, I encourage you to go to PubMed and just pour through any of the studies out there. It most definitely contributes to or exacerbates mental illness, psychoses, schizophrenia. Those are not things we need in our community. They're certainly not things we need for the young people in our community. And then also, again, to Dave's point about driving while under the influence of marijuana, I don't know, I mean, maybe people want to show their hands, how many times you've been driving the car and you can smell the car ahead of you. That happens to me on a almost daily basis now, and I can't even believe that. It's not safe. It's not safe. So I appreciated the graphic that showed Montgomery, Oswego, Plainfield, and what I appreciated most about it was Yorkville was not on it, and I ask you to keep it down.
I live in Yorkville. I have some properties in Yorkville proper, and I actually have some nieces and nephews that go to Parkview. My children do not. But I'd like to point out, and I hope you guys realize this, and I assume you do, look at this room. Every commission and committee meeting and board meeting I go to, there's nobody there. The room is empty. It's me listening to the aldermen or commissioners or trustees, right? So you can see the community has an absolute concern on what's going on here. One of the things that was brought up was about security and communication with our local police. Well, that's going to put a burden on our police department for our community, right? So while that may they may be engaging in that, they're taking away from something else in the community, or we're having to hire more staff police to be able to regulate what's going on in the community. So I think there's real concerns. The secondary effects, if anybody takes any time to look into it, they're real. That's why this whole thing started with the secondary effects doctrine, that these are real things that happen to communities. And it's proven over and over again. The Supreme Court has ruled in the favor of communities, towns, villages to regulate certain businesses based on those effects. So we just ask that you consider that. In your decision tonight, we know it's only something that gets pushed forward, but your decision does have weight going forward. Thank you.
Does anyone have any other topics that haven't been discussed tonight? Any viewpoints on this that you'd like to come up?
Good evening. My name is Tony Sonagor. I'm an attorney at the law firm of Hodges, Louise, Eisenhammer, Rodick, and Cohn, counsel for the Parkview Christian Academy. And I just wanted to make a couple points. These are raised in my letter, but I just wanted to raise a couple points that were raised in the two letters sent to the city earlier. First, the applicant has not shown compliance with pertinent Illinois statutes on advertising and signage located so close to school grounds. The Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act prohibits placing an advertisement of cannabis or a cannabis-infused product in any form or through any medium within 1,000 feet of the perimeter of school grounds. The Consume Cannabis Company is not the name of a registered company, according to my search of the Illinois Secretary of State. In Illinois, it's a trade name, and if the variance for the signage is granted in this case, the applicant effectively would be placing signage, literally encouraging onlookers to consume cannabis within 1,000 feet of the school. Moreover, the applicant has not demonstrated that they're, how the applicant would operate its business without any interior signage, or how the applicant can operate a dispensary without any advertising. Therefore, the applicant has not shown compliance with state law. In addition, the applicant has failed to satisfy the requirements for a variation. One of the requirements under the ordinance is that the applicant must show a particular hardship would result because of the physical surroundings, shape, or topographical conditions of the subject property as distinguished from a mere convenience if the strict letter of the regulations were carried out. According to some of the case law cited in the letter, a particular hardship does not mean a self-imposed hardship or that a piece of property is better adapted for the forbidden use or that a variation would be for the owner's profit. Here, the applicant knew or should have known of the signage requirements before it sought to occupy the subject property. The 500-foot distance requirement applies generally to all properties that are located 500 feet from a school, and the applicant has not and cannot show any physical surroundings, shape, or topographical conditions require variation. Therefore, on that basis, the variation request variation should be denied. In addition, the applicant must establish that the variation will not be detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to other property or improvements in the neighborhood in which the property is located. There are several studies cited in the letter showing the negative effects of cannabis, and the 10 or so speakers tonight and the additional people in the audience should receive credit from the commission as evidence that this would negatively impact other properties in the neighborhood and public welfare. And finally, relatedly, the requirement for a special use also involves a consideration of that the change, the special use, I should say, serves the public health, safety, morals, comfort, and general welfare. Again, based on the information presented in the letter and the sincerely held views of the speakers tonight, the commission can credit that as evidence that allowing the special use to allow a dispensary would not serve the general welfare. Finally, granting the variation here would create a slippery slope that would justify the use of other adult-oriented uses in other parts of the city that are not desired. This is a generally applicable requirement, and the commission should not be revisiting a generally applicable requirement such as the 500-foot distance requirement from schools in the context of a variation. For these reasons and the other reasons expressed in our letter, the Academy would ask that the variations and the special use be denied.
Thank you, sir. All right. So we are going to move on with the, would you like to say something?
Yeah. Sorry. I have something I'd like to say.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi,
My name is Annalise Sliman. I'm 16 years old, and I'm a junior at Parkview Christian Academy in Upper Campus. One thing that I'd worry about is the kind of company that this would bring to the area around the school. We've already had a situation happen at school with a suspicious man, and thanks to students that said something, the person was stopped. I'm worried that with a place like this so close to school, more things like that could happen. Another thing is natural human curiosity. If I had never heard about this place before, maybe I'd want to see what it was about. Maybe I would become hooked on vape, marijuana, or something worse, and then my life would rapidly down spiral into something that I couldn't control. And I'm worried that something like that will happen to my classmates and younger individuals at the school that wouldn't know anything about it and the dangers of drugs. Third, 1 Corinthians 15:33 from the Bible says that bad company corrupts good morals. What will happen to the area around the school if this business is put into place? What is Yorkville doing to make sure that my classmates are safe, that my teachers are safe? And I would personally like to know if Yorkville has a plan for that. Because I live in Sugar Grove, just 15 minutes of Yorkville, and I'm already worried that maybe some seniors or people that are able to buy drugs or alcohol will become curious and then will get bad grades or something bad might happen to them. Thank you for listening.
Hey, young lady. That was very brave of you to get up and do that. Thank you.
She literally just wrote that right now. Sitting here listening to all you guys talk, it hit her heart that hard when she was doing that.
Thank you. Sorry, the petitioners. Yep, I was just moving on by that.
Hey, everyone. My name is Mitch Kay. I'm the attorney for the petitioner. I'm the bad guy tonight. I love these meetings. It's an opportunity to see the community and to hear your concerns. They are all well received. I do want to go over a few items because there's maybe a little confusion on some perspectives. I want to go through very quickly the standards for variation. First, particular hardship, this property has been vacant for 2-3 years. This is zoned correctly, we're permitted to apply for a special use permit variance, go through this entire process. We respect the town listening to us and taking everything we've submitted to heart, and again, listening to the town. There's no other similarly situated property. I want to remind the town that the church is a non-conforming use in this zone without a variance. And to my knowledge, the church came in with a threat that they would be able to work there, have a school there, under the guise of suing the town if they didn't permit them to operate. They also came in with another letter threatening to sue. We're data-driven. We want to make sure everyone's very well aware. There are subjective opinions, and then there are objective concrete facts. One, we are not marketing anything. A sign is a designation of our store, nothing more than that. You cannot see into the store. So anything in the store cannot be seen from outside. No one under the age of 21 that is outside the store, anyone outside the store cannot see what's going on inside the store. Security is incredibly tight. We are compliant with all regulations. These three are variances. These are ordinances within the town. They're not state regulations. We have to be compliant with all state regulations in order to operate. In every municipality that we have a store in, we've enhanced security, we have a great relationship with the police department, and in fact, in our facility in Sholo, Arizona, a heavily Mormon community, we've extended our hours because it's been that spotless. And that's how we act as a company, that's what we do. Your town passed a law to permit one dispensary. We're asking for your consideration that we be granted this opportunity. We are at most de minimis distance from the required 500-foot setback, and I'm not going to formally ask you to look into it, but I did raise in my letter, by the black letter of your ordinance, the measurement is from facility to property line, which is over 500 feet, which you guys can discuss on your own whether you want to look at it differently, but that would put us out of even needing a variance for that. Slippery, is Mr. Senegor here? Slippery slope argument, first year of law school. it's not a valid argument. We can't go on subjective reefer madness from the 1960s and think this is the same thing. It's not.
Point of order.
Respectfully, we want to have concrete, objective facts. We want to discuss with you what's going on. I also
Are you addressing the floor?
I'm addressing the entire
Please.
Room. I'm letting you hear what's going on. So I gave you guys the time to speak. Please also be courteous to my time. Thank you. We're not here in the 1960s in reefer madness taking subjective opinions of what a few individuals think is going on. There are 20,000 residents of Yorkville. I'm happy some showed up. It's wonderful. That is a minority compared to the total folks in this town that would have otherwise shown up if there was that much concern.
Where are the other ones showing up? Speaking on board.
Point of order.
Let's keep the comments.
Yeah, comments have to keep to their. You guys had your opportunity. Sorry.
So going down the steps of a variation, this owner cannot find another suitable tenant. It's been 2 to 3 years since anyone's been on the property. The conditions upon which the petition for a variation is based are unique to this property. It is in the correct zoning district. We cannot go anywhere else in the town to similarly situate ourselves to conduct our business. If we cannot receive these variances or approval to operate, yes, we would have a significant hardship in not being able to conduct business. Based on many other studies, and some of the studies cited were based on Portland, Oregon, which legalized every drug, open use of needles, heroin, which they're now trying to claw back. That's not Yorkville. Those studies on secondary environment are looking at drastically different environments, and that needs to be considered when we're looking at how this could impact or not impact your community. And again, the proposed variation will not impair inadequate supply of light or air to the adjacent property. I've submitted my letter in response to Mr. Senegor before. His last letter, again, was filled with inaccuracies and assumptions on what we do. Consume Cannabis is a trade name. We often market with just Consume. That's just how we do business. So I didn't really understand that point. But again, we thank everyone for your time. Sorry if you thought I was being disrespectful, but we appreciate everyone coming out and listening to us. And if you have further questions, we're here to answer them.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the commissioners for the petitioner?
No.
You too. All right. So we're going to conclude the public hearing. Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like to have your responses to the standards entered into public record?
Sure.
Okay. Very good. All right. Since all public testimony regardless petition has been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony and this public hearing?
It's not all been taken, though.
Excuse me?
It's not all been taken. I think there are other people that want to speak, but you're closing arguments, so
that's why I was asking if anyone had any topics that weren't already discussed. Do you have something that...
I found something in Illinois law that I think...
Okay, we've already moved on past that. I apologize for that.
So you've not taken
I'm sorry. Is there any way we can? Is there any way we can go back?
Let me
talk to legal.
Go back.
I could go back to that.
Yeah, we have not closed the hearing yet. If there was somebody who had something additional to say, that would be fine.
Then you may have the floor. My apologies. I'm not a lawyer.
My name is Mike Kirkless. I am a parent and a student at Parkview Christian. We live in Montgomery. There is one point that I wanted to make. I am a contractor, and through the course of my contracting career, I've done some commercial work. One of the things that I'm familiar with, sir, you mentioned the HVAC. I'm not sure exactly what your HVAC upgrades are, but one of the things that Illinois mandates for recreational use and the consumption areas, private property with owner's consent. So I don't know if you're gonna be buying that building or if you're gonna be renting that building. The other thing is an approved dispensary. An approved dispensary is an approved consumption area. I don't know how your HVAC works, but nail salons are required to have above and beyond HVAC systems to expel all the fumes and the gases that they generate. It goes into the open air. If we're if we mandate 1,000 feet for advertising, 500 feet from schools, what do we do about smells and aromas that make their way out of the business into the surrounding area? If you can answer that regarding HVAC, but I did want to point out, was it your opinion or was it fact to state that Parkview had threatened Yorkville?
Yeah, my understanding.
Okay, so that's your understanding. Unless you have proof to back that up, that's hearsay. I'm not a lawyer either, but to come up and discredit a school that is a pillar of the community, that raises young people to be pillars of the community, to give back through organizational structure, through community service, you name it, Parkview is doing it to help the community. So to attack a school like that.
Okay, let's stay on topic, please.
Okay, that was a personal thing that I didn't like. But as a contractor, you mentioned HVAC. I'd be curious to know what the HVAC abilities are of your business to filter what's going to be coming out of that business. Because if advertising can't be within 1,000 feet, what do we do about the smell? That's a pretty strong advertisement, if you ask me. So I'd like to point that out. Thank you.
We'll let you readdress it.
Roughly 6 years ago, I had to go before the city because I have a microblade license, which falls under the category of tattoo establishment. And the city of Yorkville told me at that time that they do not allow tattoo establishments in their town, that is their discretion, and that they did not like what that would bring to the community. So I just wanted to make that known. And then also, this summer, with the nonprofit work that I do, I went to the Crimes Against Children Conference in Dallas and had the opportunity to sit down with the DEA, who informed me, and I'm not sure the exact numbers, but I can get them for you. They are currently finding in our country that children who are in states where cannabis is being sold are roughly 9 times more likely to purchase illegally where it's, quote, more affordable for them. And those drugs are being laced with fentanyl and things much more deadly than what cannabis is being sold from the dispensary. And I think that's something we really need to take into consideration, especially when you consider that it could be placed near a school.
Thank you, Ms. Murphy. Any additions? Anybody? Anybody? Going once? Going twice? All right. Would you like to respond to that, please?
To your second question, just to be clear, the first letter said that you would go through all avenues, including litigation. This was not denied. So that was based on fact. What you read from the regulation is accurate language, but it's related to a consumption lounge. We're not doing that. There's no smoking allowed on premises. So we have a normal, we have a high-end air filtration system in general for all our facilities, but there's no smoking or any consumption of any sort of product on property at any time. It's strictly prohibited.
Are you prepared to enforce people who do it in your car?
We shepherd them off the property. We have our director of retail operations here as well. If you have any additional direct questions, he's happy to answer them. But we, there are absolutely times where we get, a few people that are unsavory, and Mike and his team make sure they're not on property and they're gone, but it's few and far between.
Okay.
All right, folks, this is not a
This is his opportunity. Sorry. All right. Anybody else? All right. Are there any questions from the commissioners? All right. And I'm assuming you would still like your responses added in. All right, very good. Since all public testimony regarding this petition has been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony in this public hearing, please?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All right, can I have a roll call vote on the motion?
Yes. Millen? Millen?
To close the
public. To close the public hearing.
Yes.
Linane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Hyatt?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes. Seeing that their public hearing portion of tonight's meeting is now closed. We're going to move on to unfinished business. And as seeing as there are no items under unfinished business for discussion, we'll be moving on to new business. Staff, would you please present your memo summary on PTC 2024-19, PTS Corp, request for special use authorization and variances, please.
Okay, so this is a summary of all of the ordinances that were written and approved by the City Council in regards to this petition and staff's analysis of such.
We haven't taken the vote yet. If you guys, yeah. I don't want you to leave thinking it's not over yet.
Okay. So as the petitioner mentioned, that the property is currently vacant. It's about 2,700 square feet. It's a single-story brick building with a drive-through window. It was originally built in 1988 and previously occupied by various fast food restaurants. The zoning is B3, and the surrounding land uses and zoning for that property is commercial in nature. So you have B3 on the north, south, and east, and to the west there's a B2 mixed PUD land use, as well as the transportation land use of Illinois 47. The description of the project is the intent is to repurpose the existing former restaurant building and maintain the current parking lot, which has a single access drive on North Bridge Street, and they are going to construct additional interior and some exterior renovations. The cannabis dispensary was reviewed by city department staffs and outside agencies to ensure compliance with applicable adult use cannabis ordinances, regulations, and standards. And those included the need for special use, which the petitioner is here for tonight. In our ordinances, the proposed use is allowed as a special use, and cannabis dispensing organizations are limited in our ordinance to one facility per the entire city. So if this petition is approved, this would be the only such facility permitted within the entire city. Additionally, the ordinance prohibits on-premise consumption, so that was a question that the public had. So the petitioner has acknowledged in writing that there will not be any on-premise consumption, and staff is additionally recommending that signage be posted within the business stating such prohibition. There's a minimum land use separation for cannabis dispensaries from pre-existing public, private schools, nurseries, schools, preschools, etc., and daycares. That minimum land separation is 500 feet. There is one land use within the area that falls into that pre-existing land use category, and that is Parkview Christian Academy, which is scaled on the map is about 460 feet from property line to property line. There are no pre-existing residential land uses either within our corporate boundaries or outside our corporate boundaries within the minimum 250-foot distance. In the packet, staff did prepare a map, just indicating the surrounding land uses, and the petitioner also provided a spreadsheet of the distances from those land uses. We're scrolling through to find you that map. There are bulk regulations that the petitioner is required to meet being in the B3 zoning district. They have met all of those bulk regulations that is in regards to the building placement on the lot, maximum area of the building on the site, and any other impervious surfaces, and parking lot setbacks.
within our cannabis ordinance, the city decided to establish a maximum gross floor area for cannabis dispensary uses, and that is 5,000 square feet. This petition is only going to be 2,700 square feet, so they're under that maximum threshold. And the petitioner has confirmed that 100% of the total floor will be dedicated to cannabis dispensary operations. No food or alcohol for consumption will be sold on the premise, and the petitioner has acknowledged this in writing. The site, if you are familiar with the building, does have a drive-through currently. Drive-through facilities and e-commerce delivery service platforms have been explicitly prohibited by the city's regulations and of cannabis dispensary organization. It is noted that the existing fast food restaurant structure does have a drive-through facility. According to the proposed site plan, the drive-through facility will be removed. Should the petitioner in the future decide to operate a drive-through facility, they would be required to come back to City Council to get approval for that. There have been elevations submitted and renderings of the facade improvements that the petitioner is requesting. These also are in compliance with the city's appearance code standards. With regards to signage, there are specific signage regulations that apply to cannabis dispensaries. We have limited these types of recreational dispensaries to one wall-mounted sign per business, and all cannabis establishments are prohibited from using electronic message board signs. Additionally, the signage must not feature any cannabis-related imagery, such as leaves, plants, smoke, paraphernalia, or cartoon-like designs. This is all consistent with Illinois state statute. And the petitioner is seeking an exemption, as they mentioned, to the rule for the number of wall-mounted signs. So as the petitioner had mentioned, the two signs that they have would be on one of the facades, would say Consume Cannabis Company, which is their logo and brand, and also on the other sign would just be the word Consume. So staff did a comparison of what's permitted for cannabis dispensaries, as well as what's permitted in the B3 general business district, which they fall under. And the only inconsistency with the request is that they're requesting two wall signs versus the one. So staff has made a recommendation, should the petitioner not be granted the variance for the second wall sign. There are other options available to the wall sign on the south and west elevation, which could be an awning or canopy sign or a window sign. With regard to the monument sign that they are seeking, staff does recommend the petitioner install a minimum of 15 square feet of sign-based landscaping, which is per our ordinance for any ground-mounted sign. In regards to business hours, as they mentioned, they are seeking to allow for earlier openings and later closings on both weekdays and weekends. They have provided testimony in regards to what neighboring communities allow and comparison to existing businesses within the B3 district, what times they are allowed. The comprehensive plan for this site does designate it for destination commercial, and the intent of that in the B3 district is for large format retail, strip center development, and auto-oriented land uses that would attract both Yorkville residents and customers from the surrounding areas. Therefore, the proposed use is consistent with the designated future land use plan. Staff, over the course of reviewing this application, we conducted additional research of nearby communities since the state had passed its cannabis laws. And we researched 10 communities, and the findings show that on average, if you want to pull up that information, the communities allow two dispensaries each. So on average, most communities are permitting two dispensaries each, which is more than Yorkville's ordinance. And additionally, the research highlights the distance between the existing dispensaries and nearby schools or daycare facilities in those municipalities range from 220 feet, which is in Carroll Stream, to 970 feet in Naperville. Similarly, the distances to residential areas range from roughly 180 feet in St. Charles to 430 feet in Morris. While Yorkville, give you a chance to to find that.
Getting dizzy.
While Yorkville, minimum distance requirement for cannabis dispensaries is consistent with those ranges. It aligns with those average of surrounding communities. The available locations for dispensaries in our community are extremely limited. We do have a sign, we actually prepared a distance map. It's in the packet as well. You can pull up the packet on the city's website if you want. And it shows where the available sites are. There are very limited sites. So this affects this B3 zoning. This is one of the only sites that the petitioner could look for this particular use. And the reduction in minimum required distance from 500 feet to approximately 450 feet from a nearby school is consistent with approved dispensary locations in other municipalities. The city also required, as part of our plan review of the request, that the petitioner hold a community meeting with area neighbor property owners to explain the proposed special use. They scheduled their meeting September 12th this year at the Hampton Inn in Yorkville from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And according to the petitioner, no members of the public attended that meeting. As mentioned, there were written objections provided by the attorney representing Parkview Christian Academy. Staff has included that in your packet, as well as the responses to that objection from the petitioner. Finally, I can talk about additional special use considerations that staff requested of the petitioner that they did respond and meet. One of those requests was that the petitioner provide information directly to the Yorkville Police Department with regards to the entity owners and who have financial interest in the business, a copy of their licensure registration with the state of Illinois, a written statement that the property is under contract for lease, so they provided a copy of their sublease agreement. They also provided a copy of their business plan to Yorkville Police Department, which will be kept on file. And this includes the proposed number of employees, the description of the products, description of training and education, their security plan, and waste management plan for storage, security, and disposal of discarded cannabis products and materials. And in the packet, Police Department provided their responses and review, and they said that this is one of the most secure facilities as far as their security plan that they have had a chance to review. So in summation, if this special use is approved and the variances are approved, staff is recommending that the signage be posted within the business stating that there will be no on-premise consumption and that they meet the minimum landscape requirements for the sign.
That was a lot. Got any more?
No.
Okay. Do the Planning and Zoning Commission members have any questions for the petitioner or the staff? Nothing? All right. Staff, could you please read the standards for each of the requested action items and the petitioner's response for our discussion?
Sure. So the petitioner did go over some of their responses, yes. But I'll read them, each standard, as well as the petitioner's response. So in regards to the special use application, the first standard is, please state how adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide ingress, or I'm sorry, starting on page two, please state how the establishment, maintenance or operation of the special use will not be unreasonably detrimental to or endanger the public health, safety, morals, comfort, or general welfare. The dispensary will install and use state-of-the-art security technology to ensure the safety of employees and customers. There will be video surveillance of the entire store, both inside and out. Security for the surrounding business will be supplemented by additional cameras. Further, there will be on-site security personnel at the dispensary during all business hours. The staff of the dispensary will be trained in security, safety, and the protocols for dispensing cannabis to patrons. This includes preventing minors from accessing cannabis. I ask that the commissioners state if they agree with that.
I disagree with
findings of fact.
Personally, I disagree with it. I don't have a problem with the dispensary.
We can't hear you.
Sorry, I got to turn back on. I disagree with this. I don't have a problem with the dispensary. I have a problem with the general location of the community. So, thank you. That's just my opinion alone, out of the rest of the board members, but I really object to this myself. Anyone else agree, disagree? More discussion then?
I understand why the location works for them.
I do too.
I also understand the concerns.
Yeah.
We're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place here.
Yeah. I mean, I wish there was a better location for them, but yeah. Sorry. Again, that's just my opinion on it. I don't think they met it.
I mean, my, I guess, being open, my concern is...
We can't hear you.
I don't know if this works. So if there's a need for safety or security, why is that?
It's required by the state.
Yeah, state requires it.
Because of what?
So is the variance.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Audience.
Yes, please.
That's just my concern.
It's just required for the state.
If you're saying, because I've seen this before, that bringing security there, why is that bringing a certain element to that location?
I will say that the business is a cash-only operation, so that is probably why an additional reason why security is required, but the petitioner can address that.
Hi, my name is Jay Coward, Assistant for Director of Operations here in Illinois and across the country. Simple answers to the inquiries currently required because of state statute. We are fully compliant with video cameras as well as on-site security due to the state statutes. In other states where we aren't required to have on-site security, we've phased out just due to unfortunately not needing them, or I guess fortunately in this instance not needing them. And then what was the, I apologize, the second inquiry around security? It was about why we need it, which I think it's just against
statute. Yeah, it was required, yeah.
And that,
correct. I believe the question was where it came from. Ultimately, it sounds like it just came from the state statute when it was right noise.
Because
carryover from the medicinal program.
Because of the fact that you have cash there.
Correct, the cash aspect of the business, again, banks
only. Someone would want to steal it.
Yeah, again, being forced by federal regulations not to be accepted for traditional banking practices, that's the way, unfortunately, our business has to operate until more traditional payment methods are accepted.
So that's another reason for me to say no. If I was a bad person and I knew where the cash was, I don't want it that close to school. That's, well, again, my opinion.
I don't know if you can hear.
Yeah, you got to pull closer. They're terrible. They're terrible. Sorry.
I also don't like the location of it. I'm not opposed to a dispensary in Yorkville. But I definitely don't like it here. There is just so many family-oriented uses close by. The movie theater, the fast food restaurants. The school, Parkview School, I think it's a bad location. And especially with consumed cannabis on the one sign. That's terrible for anybody to read.
Thank you.
I don't want to read that.
You guys got anything else?
I agree with what you guys are saying. It's, the location is bad. And then there's a hotel right behind that, so that's easy.
Right, oh yeah. I didn't forget about that.
Okay. So I take it we're all in agreement on this one. I don't believe they've met it.
From the sound of it, though, even if we don't agree with these variances, they're still able to set up there, are they not?
No. It's required for a special use, so you would have to approve the special use. Yeah. But the variances, if they are not approved,
that was why
they could still operate.
Right now, you guys are going over the special use application.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. All right.
Okay, second standard. Please state how this special use will not be injurious to the use and enjoyment of other property in the immediate vicinity for the purpose already permitted, nor substantially diminish and impair property values within the neighborhood. The addition of the proposed dispensary will not have a negative impact on the surrounding businesses or properties. A significant investment will be made in remodeling the existing building to suit the needs of the dispensary. The area is a commercial area with a variety of businesses in the vicinity. A dispensary will add to the variety and provide new options for local customers.
Okay. Same.
Please state how the establishment of the special use will not impede the normal or orderly development and improvement of surrounding property for the uses permitted in the district. The addition of the proposed dispensary will not impede the development of the surrounding property. If anything, it will increase customer traffic to the area, making development more attractive to other businesses.
We do have that letter in support of that.
Yes, we do have one letter in support. You guys all have that in your packet. Mm-hmm. It's from the Graham C Store Company. It's the gas station, the BP Amoco gas station.
Please state how adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, or other necessary facilities have been or are being provided. The utilities have been researched and are sufficient for the needs of the dispensary. Because it is a pre-existing facility that was recently remodeled, all necessary needs are sufficient, including drainage, access roads, as well as parking. Please state how adequate measures have been or will be taken to promote ingress or egress so designed as to minimize traffic congestion in the public streets. The location is a pre-existing restaurant that has adequate ingress and egress via multiple points. Last requirement of a standard for special use. Please state how the special use shall, in other respects, conform to the applicable regulations of the district in which it is located, except as such regulations may in each instance be modified by the City Council pursuant to the recommendations of the Planning and Zoning Commission. As an applicant for this special use permit, utilizing our legal and compliance team, we have reviewed the Yorkville Municipal Code and confirmed that the proposed use will meet and or exceed all applicable provisions of the Yorkville Municipal Code. Furthermore, the Municipal Code will be consistently monitored for any changes that may be passed by the city, and we will make any necessary changes to remain compliant and good stewards of the city.
Okay.
So, moving on to the variances. So there are three variances requested, and their responses respond to all three variances. Please state the variance requested and the city ordinance, including the section numbers, to be varied. Ordinance, well, section 10-6-1, special use conditions, the 500-foot buffer from all schools, daycares, parks, and religious institutions, amend to 450 feet. 10-6-1, special conditions, business hours for dispensary, change from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday through Saturday and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday. And section 10-6-1, special conditions, signage, one wall mounted sign per business, amend to follow current sign code as well as follow state signage restrictions. Please state how the particular surroundings, shape, or topographical conditions of the specific property involved, a particular hardship to the owner would result as distinguished from a mere inconvenience if the strict letter or regulations were carried out. The addition of the proposed dispensary will not have a negative impact on the surrounding business or properties. A significant investment will be made in remodeling the existing building to suit the needs of the dispensary. The area is a commercial area with a variety of businesses in the vicinity. A dispensary will add to the variety and provide new options for local customers.
Okay. You guys have anything?
No. Please state how the conditions upon which the application for a variation is based are unique to the property for which the variation is sought and are not applicable generally to other property within the same zoning classification. One, in regards to the 500-foot buffer, since we are an adult-use dispensary per Yorkville Code, we need to be granted special use for the site. This location is in a B3 zoning district and meets other criteria with the exception of the 500-foot buffer. two in response to the hour business hours request. We request our hours to be in line with nearest competitors. The two closest stores have hours of 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Three, in response to the signage variance request, we request to have the same signage rules as any other business in B3 while also following the state signage rules. Please state how the alleged difficulty or hardship is caused by this title and has not been created by any person presently having an interest in the property. The property is currently vacant and has been marketed by current tenant for over a year and has not been able to secure a tenant.
You okay?
Yeah. Please state how granting of the variation will not be detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to other property or improvements in the neighborhood in which the property is located. The dispensary will install and use state-of-the-art security technology to ensure the safety of employees and customers. Excuse me. There will be video surveillance of the entire store, both inside and out. Security for the surrounding business will be supplemented by the additional cameras. Further, there will be on-site security personnel at the dispensary during all business hours. The staff of the dispensary will be trained in security, safety, and the protocols of dispensing cannabis to patrons. This includes preventing minors from accessing cannabis. And the final standard for variance, please state how the proposed variation will not impair an adequate supply of light and air to adjacent property or substantially increase the congestion in the public streets or increase the danger to the public safety or substantially diminish or impair property values within the neighborhood. The addition of the proposed dispensary will not have a negative impact on the surrounding businesses or properties. A significant investment will be made in remodeling the existing building to suit the needs of the dispensary. The area is a commercial area with a variety of businesses in the vicinity. A dispensary will add to the variety and provide new options for local customers.
Okay. All right. Thoughts on the special use? I'm a no.
Because of the location, yes. Yeah. I'm a no too.
Okay. Good. Move on to variance number one.
We need to vote on it.
Yep.
Read the motion and vote, please.
Okay. We were doing our little discussion before. Okay. So, can I have a motion to approve the findings of fact of the petition of PZC 2024-19, the PTS Corp.
So moved.
All right. Can you read the special use?
Yep. In consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on October 9th, 2024, in discussion of finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council a request for special use authorization to operate a cannabis dispensary business within the B3 General Business District for an approximately 1.33-acre parcel located at 1508 North Bridge Street, subject to staff recommendations and a memo dated October 3rd, 2024.
Okay.
Second.
Give us a second. Okay. Can I have a roll call vote on the motion?
Yes. Linane?
No.
Vineyard?
No.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
No.
Hyatt?
No.
And Millen?
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to the variances. Can I have a motion to approve the, can I have a motion for the variance?
So moved.
Second?
Anybody?
Please read
them.
Just for,
Do we want to do them one by one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, that's right.
Yes.
Yep.
In consideration of testimony presented at a public hearing on October 9th, 2024, in discussion of finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council a request for a variance to section 10-4-14D1 of the United Development Ordinance to decrease the minimum distance a cannabis dispensing organization can be located to a pre-existing public or private nursery, school, preschool, primary or secondary school, daycare center, daycare home, residential care home, or religious institution from 500 feet to 450 feet for an approximately 1.33-acre parcel located at 1508 North Bridge Street.
Can I have a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Vineyard?
No.
Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
No.
Hyatt?
No.
Millen?
No.
And Lanine?
No.
Okay, moving on to variance number two. We have a motion. And the second.
Second.
You read that for me, Dan?
In consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on October 9th, 2024, a discussion of finding facts, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the City Council a request for a variance to section 10-4-14A1 of the Unified Development Ordinance to change the permanent hours of operation for a cannabis dispensary from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Sundays. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sundays for an approximately 1.33 acre parcel located at 1508 North Bridge Street.
We have a roll call vote on the motion.
Yes. Williams?
Yes.
Forrestal?
No.
Hyatt?
No.
Millen?
No.
Lanine?
No.
And Vineyard?
Yes. Okay, moving on to variance number three. Can I get a motion to approve?
In consideration of testimony presented during public hearing on October 9th, 2024, and discussion of finding facts, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council in request for a variance to section 10-4-14A3A of the Unified Development Ordinance seeking relief from the maximum one wall-mounted sign per cannabis business to allow the petitioner to follow the current signage regulations in section 10-6-6-A4 for similar B3 general business district single tenant uses while maintaining compliance with Illinois state signage regulations for cannabis business for approximately 1.33 acre parcel located at 1508 North Bridge Street.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Forrestal?
No.
Hyatt?
No.
Millen?
No.
Lanine?
No.
Vineyard?
No.
And Williams?
Yes.
Okay. So the special use and the three variants have failed. Staff, would you like to please present your memo and summary on PCC 2024-23, Kendall County Petition 24-26, the mile and a half review?
Yes, so Timothy A. Terrain is requesting a rezoning for 3.6 acres located on the north side of River Road, approximately 0.75 miles from East El Domain Road, between 11327 and 11209 River Road, from R1 One Family Residential District to R3 One Family Residential District for the purpose of constructing two single family homes. The property is located within Lot 1 of the Glen Nelson subdivision, which is immediately west of Yorkville's corporate boundary, approximately 0.94 miles from the White Oak Estate subdivision. The property underwent a map amendment already in 2007, which granted them from the A1 Agricultural District to the R1 One Family Residential District. Although the names of the zoning districts are identical, there are significant differences in density between the two districts. The primary differences being around lot size, lot coverage, and density. And then the proposed rezoning request is still much larger than the lot sizes typically found in the City of Yorkville's R3 district. Yorkville's 2016 comprehensive plan designation for the property is estate slash conservation residential, and the proposed addition of the two single family homes along with the requested rezoning to the R3 is consistent with Yorkville's comprehensive plan due to the low density nature of the proposed development. Staff is seeking input from the PCC, and then this will be brought to City Council on October 22nd.
All right, it's a mile and a half review, so everyone's good with that. Can we have a motion to approve PCC
2024-23? So moved.
Oh, very good. Go ahead and read it for me.
Of course. In consideration of the proposed mile and one half review of Kendall County Petition 24-26 from map amendment 36, roughly acres, located immediately north of River Road and approximately three-quarter mile from East Elmwood Road between 11327 and 11209 River Road from R1 Family Residential District to R3 One Family Residential District. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommends to the City Council to not to object.
Very good. Staff, would you please present your memo summary on...
We got a vote.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Long night. may I have a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Linnane?
Yes.
Motion approved. All right, staff, would you please present your memo summary on PCC 2024-24?
Yes, the petitioner Steve W. Jeffers on behalf of Revolution Investments LLC are requesting an approval of a plat of vacation to vacate the public easement between two parcels, lots 110 and 111 within the Whitetail Ridge subdivision to construct a home in the center of the combined lots. The real property is located at 5862 and 5834 Championship Court. The property is platted as two separate parcels totaling around 67,000 square acres, and it's approximately 2.3 miles east of the Crestway Compassion Creek subdivision. The county's engineering consultant, WBK Engineering, reviewed the vacation of the easement from a drainage perspective and does not oppose the request to vacate the easement, and then the Whitetail Ridge HOA is also agreeable to the request. Again, Yorkville's 2016 comprehensive plan designation for the property is estate slash conservation residential, and the current land use with the open space golf course development and the proposed detached single family home on the 1.5 acre lot is consistent with Yorkville's comprehensive land use designation. And then staff is seeking staff has reviewed the request for the easement and does not oppose. And again, we're seeking any input from PCC, and then again, it'll be brought to City Council on the 22nd.
Any of the commission members have anything? Nope. May I have a motion to approve PCC 2024-24, Kendall County Petition 24-27, request for 1.5 mile review.
So moved.
Thank you.
In consideration of proposed 1.5 mile review of Kendall County Petition 24-27 for a plat of vacation to vacate the public utility easement between two parcels, lots 110 and 111, within the Whitetail Ridge subdivision, commonly known as 5862 and 5834 Champion Court, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends the City Council to not to object to the request.
May I have a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Linnane?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
The motion is approved. Is there any additional business you'd like to update us on?
Yes, there's two items. The first, I'd like to congratulate our new chair. Who is there to lead tonight's meeting, Rich Vineyard.
I'm reconsidering this, sorry.
So, with Rich
being... Too late, buddy. This is his last day, by the way.
With Rich being appointed the chair, we need to appoint a new vice chair. So are there any recommendations for a vice chair?
I would recommend Dan Williams.
Everyone okay with that even after tonight?
Yes.
You sure?
Sure.
Greg, you look like you might want to do it. Rusty. Okay. Dan has served in this before. He's yes. bailed me out. He's yes. he's good.
I can read off paper, especially with Chris Uranson.
All right, great. And then, I'm sorry.
I was just saying approved. He did. We're good to go.
Oh, okay. Perfect. And then the just updates on prior petitions that were before you. So the two prior Kendall County petitions, Jerry Stratola, Leo and Philip, they were approved, recommended for approval. And then Yorkville Renewables, interesting, it has gone to City Council. It has been pushed for the final vote until the October 24th City Council meeting.
Okay.
So I'll let you know how that turns out.
Thank you. Is that it?
That's it.
Congratulations, Mr. Williams. Seeing there is nothing further on the agenda tonight, may I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Meeting is adjourned at 8:44.